Blog Talk Radio.
Stands for, in the scriptures, a lot of time it stands for sin. So we want to start removing that and make sure that we're not walking in sin and that we're not doing anything, willful, that we know is wrong and that we are going to continue to do it. It's just not a good thing, period, as we come into the Passover time frame. We want to greet everybody in Blog Talk, in Pal Talk, on the internet in general, whether you are in North America or South America, whether you are on the African continent, whether you're in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, any of the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. It has been a long day for me. I've been up since about 4 this morning. Had a lot to, a lot of harvest to get out. And then the market was kind of slow today. Didn't do as good as I thought I would do. You know, we still did good, but I was looking for, much larger return today. And so we will try it again on Sunday. So as I was saying, we are going to be, I didn't say this yet, but we are going to be looking at false salvation. Is it possible? Is it possible to believe you're saved, but everything in concerning with the scriptures, Messiah tells us exactly who these people are, that are part of his body, but they're not going to make it. You know, and everybody believes that, hey, if you are in Messiah, you're going to make it. You're okay. I've seen this, in the scriptures from a different standpoint than what the Most High has given me here recently. And so I want to sort of take my time and walk through this. This is going to be more than one lesson for the simple reason. It's a complex subject. And we want to make sure that everyone gets it, who's supposed to get it, because I already know everybody will not understand. And that's okay. It's the Most High. I pray that the Most High gives everyone understanding that, who are up under the sound of my voice, that they're able to hear this. And then when you are dealing with other people in the scriptures, that you are able to relate this to them, relay it to them and relate to them as far as what this word and what we're going to be bringing out this time. I think my beloved sister is trying to authenticate and is putting in the wrong stuff again. Hold on a minute. Where's her phone number? Let me text her real quick. One second, please. Okay. All right, so this is one of those subjects that is delicate. It is sensitive. It takes time to actually walk through it and to show people what is actually there in the scriptures and what Messiah is saying. Because you can, as I said, the scriptures are written in such a way to reveal what's in your heart and what you are willing to believe. But if we are, open-minded, and if the scripture or if the spirit of the Most High is leading us, then we should be able to see and hear his voice all over this book. And even when it's saying something, when he's saying something that we may have been taught something differently our whole life. And, so I know everybody believes if you believe in Messiah, you're going to be saved. But that's not really what it's saying here. He says you got to believe in him, you got to hear his voice, and you got to obey. And you don't get the chance to just do whatever you want to do, how you want to do it. And so as we look into this subject, on today. I want us to, I want to be able to take the time and to carefully walk through this and walk it down so that, you know, there is no mistake with us because there are people, I know in the book of Romans, I believe it's chapter 14, is where I first saw this, okay? And, you know, there's always a witness in the scriptures. There's always another witness. And so we're going to walk through some scriptures because as they have been read and as I have understood them sometimes in the past, they are true. And then there's another way that they can also be understood. And when I, you know, took the second option or the way the Most High was showing me, he was really repeating something that he had previously said, you know, when he says, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. And so we're going to be looking at the straight gate and the narrow gate and the wide gate in this study. Because those that go through the first gate or go through the whatever gate they're going through, a lot of them will believe that they are in the body of Messiah. And he says, hey, don't you hinder them. You know, I don't want any in my body. So if they believe whatever they believe, let them believe it. Who are you to judge them concerning that, seeing that, you know, they belong to me? I'm going to judge them. Okay. And so one of the things that I saw early on, which made me start looking at this a while back, is that the Most High always said that he is the God, he is the Elohim of the living. But when we read in Romans chapter 14, Messiah claims to be the Elohim of the living and the dead. And so we're going to delve, you know, deeper into this on today. So let us go ahead and get started on this evening. I pray that everybody has had a blessed week. That you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High. I am trying to more or less change modes from being, you know, out on the road to coming before the Most High. And so just allow me that little bit of time to you know, change over. I am ready for the Sabbath for sure. I really feel like... I need this rest that the Shabbat brings us, and I know that next week is going to be extremely busy, and so I need this Sabbath for sure. All right, let us go ahead and let us start with our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26-29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Glory to your name, Father. Glory, 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 glory to your name. All glory and honor and praise belong to you, O Yah Elohim. And we bow down today and we do honor to you, O Father. We extol and we submit ourselves to you 100%, Yah. And we bless your holy name. And Father, we just ask that you would be with us and that you would bless us with your presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the honor to once again come before you and to worship you, Father, and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that we should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. But if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you've placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you've walked contrary to us. And we are repenting of our sins and from our wicked ways, Father. And we won't complain about the punishment that you've placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would obey, and they would keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. It is the Shabbat, the sounding of the shofar.
You provide the spirit.
it's time to go before the Most High and to honor him on this day. And so just let whatever's going on in your life, you can put it on hold, unless you're dying or something, put it on hold and take the time and spend some time with the Most High. All right, this subject that we are going to be talking about, false salvation. Because just because somebody believes that they're saved doesn't necessarily mean that they're saved. And so we want to look at a few scriptures. I want to start off in Matthew chapter 7. The book of Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to start in verse 1 so that we get the context. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Now, this is talking about judge righteous judgment, because judge lawful judgment. Because if you are not using the law of the Most High to establish your opinion and to make judgment, and he says whatever penalty, whatever reward, whatever penalty, I already said penalty, I was looking for a better word, but whatever punishment you want somebody else to have or that you give out to someone, that's the same one you're going to receive if you are guilty of the same thing. Okay, and so, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, whatever measure of punishment that you put on somebody, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So he's not saying that you can't judge, but you got to know righteous judgment. And so you got to first get the beam that is in your eye out before you try to pull a splinter out of somebody else. And so, you know, so we're reading this, but this is not the main verses that we want to look at into this. He's talking about judging people and your life, looking at your own life and saying, what standard are you living, and are you putting a different standard on everybody else? But it shouldn't be your standard. It should be his standard. That's what we should be putting on people. That's how we should be judging people, not by our own standards, but by his standards. Okay? They said, whatever you put out, that's what I'm going to put on you. Okay? And whatever you know, if you're guilty of lying, and you thought somebody should face to be slapped for lying, then you're going to be slapped. That's kind of the gist of it. Verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dog, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you, or, you know, wound you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. To him that knocketh, to him it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a serpent or a stone? Will give him a stone. If your child asks you for bread, you know, you're not going to turn around and give them a stone or a serpent or something bad. Or if he asks a fish, you will give him a serpent. If you being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. In other words, you want to treat people how you want to be treated. If you are evil acting toward people, expect for them to be evil acting toward you. He's wanting us to self-reflect, you know, look at ourselves. How are we judging people? If we're guilty of something and then we want to hold somebody accountable for what we're guilty of. But we don't want to be held accountable for it. We're gonna continue with this. Now, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Both sides always wanted us to treat people how we want to be treated. And this is how he judges us. Now, in verse 13, enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. The way into the kingdom is hard to find. The way to walk holy is not a wide path. The wide path and the wide gate to destruction is easier to get into. So he says, enter you in at the straight gate. Now he's going to tell you what's not the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. That's not the straight gate. That's the opposite of the straight gate. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Walk, step not to the right nor to the left. March straight ahead. To the right, don't go to the left. On that straight and narrow path, there is no room for you to go to the right or to the left. And so you have to walk the straight and narrow. That means stay focused and keep your mind on the Most High. Keep your mind on the kingdom. Keep your mind on the end game. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Underline that. Because this is a resounding theme and method in the scriptures. Few there be that find it. Let's see if he says this somewhere else. So let's read verses, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 again. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way. That's not the straight gate. That is the, this is the gate you don't want, that leads to destruction. And many, most, there be which go in thereat. That's what that many means. Most. Not a lot. The vast majority. More than half the people. Probably more than 90% of the people find this gate. Because straight is the gate, verse 14, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Now, this is, as I said, a resounding theme through the scriptures. But you got, let's go look at another place. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to come back to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to start in verse 1. Because Messiah speaks to the people in parables. And remember, whenever he speaks in a parable, it's not meant for the masses to understand it. It's only meant for those that he chooses to understand it. So will they get an understanding? Yes. Everybody that reads it will get an understanding. Is it the correct understanding? Probably not, because he has to give the understanding. He told us that in Matthew chapter 13. He has to give the understanding. So anytime he speaks in a parable, he's not speaking clearly on purpose. The explanation to the parable, a lot of people don't understand it. Okay? So Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 1. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 1. Because we want to make sure that we don't have a false salvation. We believe that we're walking right. We believe that we're in the kingdom. But are we? Have we done what he said to do? Are we doing what he says to do? Or are we, as we're going to see in the scriptures, in the body, and we are following Messiah, but we are not saved? Because that condition exists. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 1. And Yeshua answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, remember that a parable is him speaking to the masses in an unclear way, and it's not meant for them to understand it. And even most of the time, his disciples don't understand it. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, that they would not, and they would not come. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden or invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Now, you don't invite the bride to her own marriage. And in this parable, those that are bidden are Israel. Okay? And today, those that are bidden are the church. Now, we got to understand something here. And I don't know if I'll get into it tonight. I think I won't, because it'll go down another rabbit hole. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servant, the remainder took his servant and entered them and entreated them spitefully and slew them. So the rest of the people, some, you know, they made light of this invitation to the wedding. Now, you notice not the bride. They made light of it. They went about their own business, you know, doing whatever they do. One went to his farm. One went to his store, his merchandise. And then the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them, the prophet. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He was angry. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were invited were not worthy. Go ye to the highways, and as many as you find, bid, invite to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found. Both bad and good. Underline that. Bad and good. Because these bad people are at the wedding. They're at the marriage supper. They believe that they were invited, but they didn't get into the right condition. Okay? Bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, the bride is not the guest. So these are other people, because the church believes that it is the bride. And Israel today believes that it is the bride. But he says that the guest, that the wedding would be furnished, not the bride. Okay? And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there was a man that which had not a wedding garment. Underline that. Had not a wedding garment. Because this is a condition. He's among the guests. He's among the church. He's among the camp. He's invited to the wedding, but he don't have a wedding garment. He believed he was good when he got there. I'm in the group. You know, his servants came and said, y'all come. Come to the wedding. Said both good and bad. But here's somebody, he's bad. He don't have a wedding garment. But he's been invited. In the group. He's in the church. He's in the camp. He believes he's all good. And he says unto him, friend, how camest thou, how did you come in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. They told me to come, but he didn't say that. He was speechless. Like, he was just told to come. But he's like, I don't know why I don't have a wedding garment. You know, I came with the crowd. I don't know why I don't have a wedding garment. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now this sending him into outer darkness is the lake of fire. He said, you came into the wedding and you don't have a wedding garment. Now, they went out and they invited both good and bad that there might be guests at the wedding. But the bad don't get to stay at the wedding. Understand that. The bad don't get to stay at the wedding. For many are called both good and bad. But few are chosen. Now, when you, whatever church you're in, whatever group you're in, whatever camp you go to, you look at if the pews are full, if the chairs are full, and there's a large number of people there, they were all called, good and bad. Understand that. Let the wheat grow up with the tares, good and bad. And there's a lot of those people who think that they are good, but they are bad. They think they're good. The man that showed up without the wedding garment thought he was good. I'm good to go. Only to find out that, hey, there's a requirement. And I just got questioned, or I didn't know what he's talking about, a wedding garment. How'd you get up in here with no wedding garment? This is a lot of the saints in the church. A lot of the, let me rephrase that. This is a lot of the so-called saints in the church. Many are called. So we underline that. Because we need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. We need to make sure that if we believe that we are good to go, that we are truly good to go. Or are we in there without our wedding garment? Are we in there and we were invited? We heard the gospel and we came. But we didn't really want to do what Messiah said to do. We wanted to use his name. We wanted to say we belong to him. But we didn't want to obey his voice. I shouldn't have to do all that. I can do what I want to do. This is what I think. Let's continue in this. So many are called. But few are chosen. And remember, he calls the good and the bad. And, you know, we might think somebody that's bad is some, you know, they're a rank sinner. They don't do nothing but sin. They got an invitation to a wedding, and they decide to go. Some of them are there, too. But some of them are professing to be good, and they're disobedient. They're disobedient to the Most High. They're disobedient to his commandments. They're disobedient to what he says to do. They want to call on his name. They want to use his name. They want the authority, but they're really not following him. Go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. And we are going to start in, what I want to start here. Let's start in verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. Remember, the good and the bad are called. The good and the bad are in the group. Some of us have wedding garments, some of us don't. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, or Yah, Yah, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just because you're calling on his name don't mean you're going to enter in. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So everybody that calls on his name is not going to enter in. Everybody that calls on his name ain't good, even though they think they are good, even though they're professing that they are good. He says, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. If you're not doing the will of the Most High, if you're doing your own thing, if you're doing what's right in your own eyes, what you think is right, then you're not going to make it. Because the only ones that make it in are those that are doing the will of the Father. Now, we need to hear this. And we need to understand it. He's being very clear. I'm calling both good and bad that there might be guests at my wedding. Because those that I invited before, they were not worthy. They didn't obey. They were doing their own thing. They didn't honor me. Went about back to doing their own work. Went about, you know, going to their own store and selling their stuff. And then the rest of them, they killed my servant. They weren't worthy. Now, go into the highways and into the byways and invite both good and bad. And I'll weed out the bad ones when I get there. I don't know who's dressed properly. I don't know who has my spirit. I don't know who's doing my will, who's obeying my voice. And I will weed them out when I get there. Because remember, the king came in. It wasn't a servant that said, hey, how did you get up in here? It was the king himself. Hey, what you doing here and you got no wedding garment on? Get him, bind him up, tie him up, and throw him into outer darkness. Throw him into the lake. Not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, or Lord, Lord, or Yah, Yah, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not professed thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? Hear this, because these people are so-called believers. In your name we cast out devils. And in your name, we done many wonderful works. We fed the hungry. We took care of the widows and the fatherless. We took care of the homeless. We did spiritual warfare. in your name. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You were doing all this stuff, but I don't know you, and you don't know me. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You using my name illegally. You claiming my name illegally, unlawfully. What he's saying to them. So there are many in the churches and many in the camps, many in the body of Messiah. They were invited. They were called. Everybody that's called, many are called, but few are chosen. Many come up in here, but I ain't accepting everybody. Only those that are going to do the will of my Father. Hear this, because this is what we are dealing with today and have been dealing with for 2,000 years. People saying that they believe in Messiah, won't do what he say do, won't keep his feast days, won't keep his commandments, won't love their brother, won't be one with their brother as he has commanded these days, can't forgive. He says, I called you, and you heard my voice. But I didn't necessarily choose. See me with your lips, but your heart was far from me. Get away from me. You worker of iniquity. You worker of unlawfulness. You sinner using my name. That's what that iniquity means, that you're not lawful. You're not keeping his law. You're doing some things that you want to do and not the will of the Father. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine, you got to be able to understand them. Then you got to do them. With your whole heart. You know, not what feels comfortable. Not what's convenient. Remember, let us go to the book of Luke. Remember, he means this. And, you know, we have to make sure that we are doing it, or else we're just going through the motions, okay? And I'm supposed to put it just how it is, okay? We're going through the motions. We want to feel good about ourselves, but we don't want to do what he says to do, how he says to do it, with the heart that he says to do it, with the attitude that he says to do it with. We want to do it the way we want to do it. We want to do it that we're satisfied with what we're doing. And the Most High will say, you know, that ain't what I asked you to do. That ain't what I told you to do, because he don't really ask anything. If we understand him from his position, everything that he does from a position of, it's a commandment. It's never a suggestion. It's never a suggestion. So we're going to go in. I just want to remind us of this so that while we're reading this, we have this mindset, that we get this mindset. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. The book of Luke chapter 14. Let's get starting in verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, if you love anybody more than you love him, I don't care whether you are male or female, you love anybody more than you love him, he cannot be my disciple. You cannot follow me. Male or female, you cannot follow me. If you love anything or anyone more than you love me, even your own self, this is the will of the Father, that you follow Messiah with your whole heart, that there is nobody more important in your life than him. And whosoever does not bear his cross, does not do whatever it takes, and come after me, cannot be my disciple, cannot follow me, cannot be like me. If you're not willing to do what I did, if you're not willing to go to the length that I went, if you're not ready to give your all, you cannot follow me. You cannot belong to me. I'm not your Savior. Many are called. Few are chosen. I call both good and bad. Remember those things. I call both good and bad. Many are called. Few are chosen. You can't do the will of the Father, which is to follow Messiah with your whole heart, which is to follow Messiah and have nobody before him, no other love before him. Not that you can't have any other love. You can't love them or yourself more than you love him. If you're not willing to pay the price, if you're not willing to do whatever it takes, and that's going to be different for each person, then you can't follow me. So, you were called. You at the meeting. You at the Bible study. You're at the Sabbath lesson. You're at the Sunday worship. You're there when they say to be there. And then when you leave there, there's some things that aren't quite right. There's some things that you're doing that are not of him. But I called you. But that don't mean I'm necessarily choosing you. Verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counts the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? Did you really sit down and say, this is what it's going to take to follow Messiah? This is what it's going to take to follow HaMashiach. My all. He's got to be the first person in my life. My first love. He didn't say you couldn't love anybody else. He said, but I got to be number one. And I got to come first all the time. Even over your own self. If you haven't thought about this and considered it, to do it, then you're going to come up short because you don't even know what it costs. You don't even know what it's going to take. You haven't even thought about it. So how are you going to do it? What is it going to cost me? What am I going to have to give up? What am I cannot do? What am I going to have to do that I don't necessarily want to do? What is it going to cost me? If that's what it's going to take to finish the race. Acceptable manner. You know, many of us get into this and we just want to finish the race. Just hang in there to the end, and we'll make it. Paul said, run this race like you want to come in first place. Not that you just want to finish it, but like you want to come in first place. I want the first place trophy. I don't want everybody saying, great job, you finished the race. I want the first place trophy. Second place is the first one to come in last. Because everybody that don't come in first came in last. Second, third, fourth, fifth. Which is different degrees of last. There's only one first. Said to run this race. That's the mentality that you have to have. You got to run it with your whole heart. You don't just get in and say, do-doop, 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 do-doop. Which way did you go, George? Oh, you fell down. Let me help you back up and let's walk to the finish line. Paul said, no, you're supposed to be running this thing to win it. Messiah says you're supposed to be considering the cost and giving your all. Whatever he asks, give your all. So if you don't count the cost and know what it's going to take to finish the race, knowing that it's going to be your all, you might run it with that lackadaisical attitude. You know, I just want to make it to the finish line. That might be good. You make it to the finish line and he might let you in. He might not choose you. Because it might be the wrong attitude. And it might not place enough importance on him the way he wants it on him. Might not place enough importance on the kingdom the way he wants the kingdom to be looked at. And you might be doing the work that he said. You might be out there casting out demons, using his name and using the authority of his name, and demons will tremble at that. Might be feeding the hungry, taking care of widows and the fatherless. And then he says, I don't know you. You were using my name, but I don't know you. You were dropping my name, and I didn't give you permission to drop my name. But you chose to drop my name because you wanted to be in. You wanted to be in the good, but I didn't choose you. This is where we are at today. Because people want to come to the Most High on their terms. I don't have to do all that. Verse 30. Well, let's go back to verse 29. Luke 14 and 29 and 30. Least happily, for which of you, verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower, sit not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient, enough money to finish. Do you have what it takes to finish what Mosiah has you working on? Least happily, after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish. And all that behold it begin to mock him. Oh, you said you were saved. You said you were this and that, and look at you now. Saying this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goes to make war? And another king sits not down first and consults Abel with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desires conditions of peace. Wait a minute, I ain't got enough to wage this war. I can't win this war. I need to ask for peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, he's talking to those that can hear him, talking to those that were called. Whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. I call the good and the bad. All of y'all aren't going to be willing to forsake all you have. All of y'all are not going to be able to count the cost. I'm not going to be willing to count the cost and say, oh, you know, well, I'm willing to give this. Most high, you know, I'm willing to give you a day a week. I give you Shabbat. And then don't even keep it the way he says to keep it. Go out shopping. Buy groceries. Watching football games or baseball games or basketball games, whatever your favorite sport is, washing your car, cutting the grass, painting the house, whatever it is that you need to get done on his day. There are some things he allows. He allows the necessary. And the necessary is not because you didn't do it in time. The necessary is because there is no other way to do it. He understands that. He understands you can be in a position that requires you to do it, to work on the Sabbath, like his priesthood. Being a minister of the Most High is work. Making the sacrifices on the altar was work. So because it was the work the Most High understood and he allowed it, he did not hold it against them. Yeah, they were working. They were doing servile work on the Sabbath, but it was their job to do it. And he didn't hold it against them. And Messiah said, hey, which one of you, if your ox falls down in a hole, will not get him out on the Sabbath? Servile work, but you're not going to let the animal stay in the hole and die or be in distress because it's the Sabbath. It's a good work to get that horse or that ox out of the pit. So Messiah said, it's good to go about doing good on the Sabbath. But those things, that good that you do, it has to be a necessary thing that it ought to be done. And to not do it is negligent. But not because, you know, well, I need to do this, but, yeah, this thing could have waited till Monday or Tuesday. It still can get done, but it's more convenient for me to do it on the Shabbat. Then he don't play with that one. Understand this. So he don't want us to worship him with our lips, from our heart, and to obey him from our heart. And that's what it takes with our whole heart. That's what it's going to take. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. The book of Matthew chapter 7. So, therefore, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. This rock, Most High is called a rock. Let's get that verse. Go to Deuteronomy. Chapter 32 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. They're lawful. They're righteous. An Elohim of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. He is the rock. Now, when Messiah said, upon this rock shall I build my church, Hebrew or the Aramaic, that language, if you play with it, if you put together the words Abba, Ab and Ben, father and son, they make the word stone or rock in the Aramaic. And Messiah was making a play on words. Upon this rock, father and son, shall I build my church. I am the rock. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 15. But Yeshurun waxed fat. Righteous Israel waxed fat. That means that they had it good. And kicked. Had it good and then kicked against the Most High. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. They ain't starving. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook Elohim, which made him. You got blessed. Our forefathers got blessed by the Most High. Got fat and puffed up, really, and kicked against the Most High. Forsook him. And lightly esteemed, didn't value, lightly valued the rock of his salvation. Yeshurun, righteous Israel, wasn't so righteous. Just understand that the Most High, he is our rock. And if you establish your foundation on him, and on Messiah, who are one and the same. Oh, I need to show you guys that too. I found that in the scripture. One of the words that we look at in the English, when you look at it in the Hebrew, it means something. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees say, you being a man, make it yourself Elohim, make it yourself God. When Messiah said, I and my Father are one, and the church interprets that as, you know, like one in purpose, one in mind. No, what that word actually meant in the Hebrew is that I and my Father are one another. We are one another. I am the Father. He is the Son. We are one in the same. We are one another. But it's only one of us. Even though I'm in two places at one time, it's the same Spirit. But that's a whole nother thing. Anyway, you build your house upon the Most High. He is our rock. He is our salvation. Back to Matthew chapter 7. Everyone that heareth these sayings, verse 26, Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Everybody who hears my sayings and don't do them is like going to be likened unto a foolish man. How did they hear his sayings? They were at the meeting. They were at the lesson. They heard, but they didn't do it, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it, because they fell into total darkness, total ruin. See, a lot of the times when a test comes, that's what the rain and the wind and all that is. That's the trials and the tribulations. To be tested, to be refined, to drive out something that shouldn't be there, or to put something in you that's supposed to be there. But when the test comes, we fail. We fall, and a lot of times into a place where we can't recover from. We lose faith. Is the Most High really talking to me? Was he ever really talking to me? Was I doing what I was supposed to do? Upon him. If it's not founded on him, the rock, then you have nothing sound to stand upon. Don't have anything solid to stand upon. Then we doubt. We become shaken. But we're in the group. We're in the body. We may not be chosen. Let's continue. The people who go into the wide gate, the bad. Messiah is not at the front door. He's actually at the end of the tunnel. You'll understand that in a minute. These people that are looking for Messiah, the ones that are called out of the good and the bad, the ones that want to be part of the body, but don't really want to do what he says to do, the ones that are in it for show, the ones that want to be something in and of themselves. You know, could we be the one that Most High says has to be cut in half? Do we want that? Are we willing to be the one that has to suffer all the time? So we need to find out why. People who are bad, they are rejected by the Most High. They're rejected by Messiah. Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal people in your name? Didn't we feed the hungry in your name? Didn't we do all these things in your name? Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Why are they rejected? Could they have done anything to prevent it? Because the bottom line is, if he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I knew you not. That's a death sentence. Being relegated to the lake with no mercy, with no recourse, with no clemency, no forgiveness. Thought they were forgiven. I didn't know you. You claim me, but I don't know you. Go to Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew chapter 5. Hit verses 6 and 7. Now, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. These people didn't thirst after righteousness. These people are in the body, but they didn't thirst after being right with the Most High. They didn't search and thirst after being lawful with him, obeying his laws. We don't have to obey those laws. We ain't up under those laws. They don't apply to us. I can't do it. It's too much. It's too hard. He knows that we sin. They didn't thirst after it. They kept trying to find excuses not to have to not do it. He's a loving Elohim. He's all forgiving. He will forgive my sin if I just confess it. He knows I'm weak in my flesh. I don't want to be alone. Didn't thirst after righteousness. Thirst after fulfilling their own needs and their own desires. But not after righteousness. It says, if you thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. If you thirst after being lawful and doing the law and keeping the law, you will do it. so many people saying, you know, we can't keep this law. He knows that we stand for him. And Israel actually operates up under this premise. We got to keep the statutes, laws, commandments of the Most High, but we can't do it. And he knows we can't do it, and we won't be able to do it until he comes back. No, if you ain't doing it before he comes back, if you ain't doing it in your lifetime, you ain't going to be chosen. Because you're not really thirsting after righteousness. You're thirsting after what you want to do. Claiming his name, using his name, worshiping in his name in an unlawful way, in an unrighteous way. That is who these people are. They don't thirst after and hunger after righteousness. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. They're not really merciful either. They're not really forgiving. And the first time they have a disagreement with somebody, they are out. I'm gone. Don't agree with what they think? They are out. Do something against them, unforgiving. That they feel is against them, they're unforgiving. Even the first time. So this is where the problem is. Because that kind of, you know, if somebody offends you that way, it's the love of Elohim that we have to have. That's why it says, be thou perfect. For when we were yet sinners, he loved us. When we were yet transgressors against him, he loved us. When somebody transgresses against us, he wants us to love them. To have his type of love. Go back to verse 1. And seeing the multitude, not the disciples, seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, now he's teaching his disciples and not the multitude, not the masses. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's not telling this to the multitude. Now he's talking to his disciples. Because to the multitudes, he talks in parables. That hearing they might hear and not understand, and seeing they might perceive, seeing they might see and not perceive, understand what they were seeing. That is still true today. Not for everyone. They can be right in the group. Many are called, but few are chosen. Right in the group. Hearing the same lessons and precepts and still not getting it. Not understanding. Because it wasn't given to them to understand it. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. Blessed are the people be called the children of Elohim. All of these things that he's saying, blessed, you're supposed to be those things. You want to think that that's individual. Those are all the things that we are supposed to be blessed with, every one of these. We're supposed to fit every one of these qualities. We're supposed to be peacemakers. Seek peace and pursue it. Commandment. Be pure in heart. innocent, like a child, and you shall see Elohim. That's the way we're supposed to be. Starts with they which persecuted are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What does that mean? Let me reread that to you another way. Blessed are they which are persecuted for keeping the law. That's righteousness' sake. For keeping the law. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can't be a member of the kingdom of the Most High and you are unlawful. You are a sinner. You are a willful sinner. The kingdom's not yours. No matter how much you claim Messiah, I don't know you. You say you know me. I wasn't a sinner. I didn't sin not once. Came and wiped away and gave you a way for me to wipe away your sins. And as soon as you were confronted, as soon as you were put on trial, as soon as you were tempted again, you broke down and you sinned again. Well, I'm only human. He's not trying to hear that. Not trying to hear that. He'd rather hear that you were persecuted for being lawful, for being righteous. Oh, you one of them law keepers. You, Mr. or Mrs. Goody Two-Shoes, are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for keeping the law. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you. Falsely. He didn't say it was true. Falsely, for his sake. Number one in your life. Everything you do is motivated and predicated on him. So he says, blessed are you when you are persecuted, when you are reviled, you know, hated. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Don't let it be true. They speak in evil, and it's true. And we got a problem. Speaking evil about you, and the accusations are true. And there's a problem. But when they make all manner of accusations and say evil things about you that are false, for his sake, being glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You ain't the first one to go through this. You ain't the first one to have been called this name and that name. You ain't the only one, the first one that they tried to kill or they killed. For my sake, thus saith Yah Elohim. Not what thus saith you, but what thus saith Yah Elohim. What did Messiah say? What did Messiah do? What did the Most High say? For his name's sake, for his sake, not for your own. You following the laws, you trying to tell people, hey, you need to straighten up and walk right, and they don't want to hear you. Get away from me, you crazy. You know, our people are supposed to say anything. Get away from me, you crazy bee. You just think you so righteous. Be happy when they do that. when it's for his sake. Now, if you're just acting a fool and you're trying to pretend that you're good, so in front of people you good, but then, in, you know, when you ain't in front of people, you something else. Y'all knows. They may not know, but y'all knows. Your reward. You are the salt of the earth. He's talking to the good ones. And if the salt have lost its flavor, what good is it? What, you know, think about this. If you eat salt, and I eat salt, and you put some salt on some meat or on, you know, a potato or something that, you know, you like salt with, and then the salt is not salty. It's like you put some grains of sand on it, and it don't change the flavor of the meat. What good was the salt? It lost its flavor. It's not doing what I intended it to do. It's not good for anything. Wherewith shall it be salted? What good is it? It is henceforth good for nothing. If you are the salt of the earth and you're not doing what Messiah said to do, if you're not filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, if you're not willing, if you're not giving your all, if you're not doing, you know, doing the things he said to do, you have lost your flavor. It's not worth anything. What good is it for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bush. If you light a candle and put it under a bush, it's going to start a wildfire. But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So if you are a candle and you in the wrong place, somebody set you up under a bush, or you set yourself up under a bush, and you're just starting wildfires. You're not giving light. You're giving light, but not the right kind of light. It's wild, crazy, it's destructive. For men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not glorify you, but your Father, which is in heaven. My meat is to do the will of my Father. What motivates me is to do the will of my Father. That's what Messiah said. I have meat that you know not of. I have motivation that you don't understand. I can go 40 days without eating because my will is to do the will of him that sent me. That's what motivates me. What motivates you? Is it to not go to the lake? Is it to be an instrument for the Father that he might use you to bring about his will in the earth? For verily I say unto you, let's see, I skipped something. Verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law. If I didn't come to destroy the law, it would be a lawless society. He'd have a lawless kingdom. So most of those in the church that say they are not under the law, want to stay where they are at, doing what they want to do according to the standards of the world, and try to justify it, you know, well, it's a good thing. No, the law of the Most High is the law of the Most High. It is uncompromisable. Only he can change it. Only he can justify or unjustify it. So you got to do what he says to do. He says, I come not to destroy the law or the prophets, those that wrote about me. I'm not coming to destroy what they were doing and what they said. They were talking about me. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law, to fulfill the prophecy, not to do away with the law. And so when the scriptures say you are not up under the law, if you are in the spirit, if you're in the spirit of the Most High, you're not going to sin. And if you sin, then you bring yourself back up under the law. Because the law was not designed to save you. The law was designed to show you you were a sinner, you are a transgressor. And it came with penalties. It was never to save us, it's to show us that we are transgressors. And as we learn how we transgress, we are supposed to stop. Not keep doing it or ignore it or, you know, that wasn't for us. We ain't up under that stuff. That's why he says many are going to say, didn't we do these things in your name? We were doing good stuff. I tell you to do that. I don't even know you. And you don't know me. You were just doing what you wanted to do to make yourself look good. You wouldn't even keep the law. And then you were judging people by your own standard or by the standards of man. Not my standard. And you say you knew me? You are a liar, and the truth is not in you, but you don't know it. I have not chosen you. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass. And this is where, you know, this is the only scripture you need to combat anybody who says that they are not up under the law, that the law is done away with. Till heaven and earth pass. If the earth is still here, if the heavens are still here, one jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law. You ain't got to get all deep. You know, people be trying to get all deep with all this stuff. But he makes it clear to his. Heaven's still here. The earth is still here. The law is not going to pass away. I'm going to modify some things. The law is not going anywhere. It'll all be fulfilled. Everything is not fulfilled yet. Messiah is not back on the throne yet. It's not over yet. Won't be over till he comes back. And still everything won't be fulfilled for 1,000 years after that. That's when the Most High says, now it's time for judgment. Now is the time for the great white throne judgment. All has been fulfilled. Now it's safe and we can have the marriage. We can have the wedding. Not when he returns. It's going to be after the 1,000 years. Most High is not going to have good and bad in his kingdom. They're invited to the wedding. But the bad, he's going to throw into the lake. What are you doing here? I thought I was good. I was casting out people in your name. I was laying hands on people and praying for them. I was in the widows and the homeless. And I was doing it in your name. I belong to you. No, you don't. I don't know you. You never submitted yourself to me. You never kept my laws and my sayings. You never allowed me to fill you with my spirit. You just said that you were filled with my spirit. You claim that. You said you were saved. You said you were righteous. I never knew you. This is the vast majority of people in the body, in the church, in the camp. Many are called, good and bad. Few are chosen. But we'd rather walk in a lie. We'd rather for somebody to say something that's going to make us feel good. We'd rather hear what our itching ears want to hear. I need compassion. If I didn't love you, I would be telling you what you want to hear. If I wasn't compassionate, I'd be telling you what you want to hear. Not what you need to hear, but what you want to hear. I know that will cement you like glue. But then Yah would get me. Didn't I tell you to tell them? See, Yah is opening up ears and he's opening up eyes. And there are a few of us who are in the bad column that Yah wants in the good column, but got to repent, truly turn from your wicked ways. Got to truly stop wanting to do what you want to do. And hear his voice and obey it and do it. This word in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Remember, he's talking to his disciples. And he taught them. We got to be willing to be taught. You can only be taught when you have an open mind. When you don't have your own opinion. When you can be filled. You know, little children are easy to teach because they don't have a whole lot of opinion. They don't have a whole lot of knowledge that they say, oh, I know this is true, and this is what I count on, and this is what I draw on. That's why Messiah said, you must come to him as little children, childlike, empty, ready to be filled. Many of us came that way. In the beginning. But there was a bad one in the group that taught us. You see, remember, they are in the body, both good and bad. And when we have bad doctrine, because we believe it's true, because we took that thing into our heart, it's got to be true. Got to be the way it is. But yet when Yah sends correction, we don't want to believe. We don't want to hear it. And we don't understand that there are good teachers in the body and there are bad teachers in the body. They're in the body. Good and bad. So that word teacher in the Greek, mathetes, simply means learner, a pupil, a follower. He's talking to his disciples, followers, to those that believed on him. He taught. To those that didn't really believe on him, he spoke to them in parables. To those that believed on him, he gave understanding, and he would stop. They would come and ask questions. Hey, we don't understand what you just said. He would give them understanding. He didn't do this for the masses. He let the masses come away with whatever belief they wanted to come away with because it was not meant for them to understand it. Continue. What time is it? 7:56. We're going to stop right here. We'll pick this up tomorrow morning. It's got a long ways to go. And as I said, this is not going to be just one lesson. It's really, I don't even know how many lessons this is going to be because, there's a lot to be said here because the Most High is calling someone. And he wants them to change their way. And he wants to take away every excuse. That they might repent before him and receive their wedding garment. Not come to the wedding and not be properly clothed. With that being said, let's bow our heads. Father, Yah, we come before you right now, Father. Praising and blessing your holy name. Glorifying you, Elohim, for you are the only wise and true potentate. You are the only good shepherd. Father, you want us to worship you in spirit and in truth. You don't want us to be up in and among your saints, playing like we are a saint. But you would rather that we should all be saved and that we should all be converted. To he that has an ear, Father, let them hear. And let them do. Humble their hearts, Father. Whomsoever you are speaking to, let them hear your voice. And let them repent from their ways. And turn toward you with all that they have and with all that they are. For the time is short. Let your will be done. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, we will pick this thing up in the morning. As I said, we got a long ways to go in this. Because we can see that both good and bad have been called. I haven't even gotten into the verses with the wheat and the tares. Let the tares grow up with the wheat. And how do you identify a tare versus a wheat? How do we become converted? Because with the Most High, all things are possible. All things are possible. And he is able to change a tear into wheat. But we just have to humble ourselves and give ourselves totally over to him. See, Brother Miles can't read your heart, but the Most High can. Brother Miles can't convert you, but the Most High can. Brother Miles can't save you, but the Most High can. Not be in his body with a false salvation. Let's not be part of the mass. Let's not be on that short road, but on the long and narrow one. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear ya and keep the commandments, saints. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you wherever you're at. Shalom.
Brother Miles, all family, happy Sabbath.
Shalom, Sister Mary and family, happy Sabbath. Peace and blessings. See you guys tomorrow morning.